wells without water. Amen.
Psalm 68 verse 5. He's the father of the fatherless. Sorry. All right, yeah, I'm right. The father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, the Lord is in his holy house. He's in his holy house. The Lord is in his holy habitation. He says, he sets the lonely in families. Now the Lord is in his only house, his own house, and he sets the lonely in that house. So again, you can read the thoughts of the psalmist there. The Lord is in his holy temple, is in his holy habitation, then he sets the lonely, that's what is solitary, in his family. He sets the solitary in families. And brings out those who are bound in chains. The rebellious dwell in the dry land. Again, this reminds you straight off. John 14, right? My father's house, there are many mansions. Again, the father's house is where he plants his people. Then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be his family. So he's not talking about a building. He's talking about God's family. See what we just did there now? John 14. Psalm 68. Is it making sense? All right. So the father's family is where Jesus said he was going to prepare. We've taught that before. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am as a son in the family, there you may be also. So the psalmist will explain it in a futuristic sense. He will set the solitary in families. Or what God does in the salvation story is that he puts those that are bound in chains into his habitation. He calls him the father of the fatherless. That's what he became to us. By the message of resurrection. So by the gospel, God became father to us. Say, God is my father. Alright, so we just did something there now. I believe as a Grace House Church student, you should be able to pick up what I just did now. God is the father of the fatherless. Psalm 68 verse 5. Because of that, he puts the solitary in his family. Where is the family? We said the word family there, you find it in the Greek as okia, right? The house of God, the household of God. Where is the house of God? Is it in Tulsa? Where is the house of God? Is it on the mountain in Ekiti? Is it at Eden Mountain? Where is the house of God? Is it Glorious House Church? The house of God is the church of God. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. My mind just goes to 2 Timothy every time. Why? 1 Timothy 3. So again, we're establishing something which we have either though been doing in this teaching. We have been seeing God's family, God's house, and what he does for us in salvation. If you don't have an idea of anything that happened to you, one of the things that you must happen to you is that you are now a part of God's family. That's what happened at salvation. You became a member of God's family. I'm a child of God. A testimony you must not fail to tell yourself. I'm a child of God. I am a part of God's family. So, Paul explains God's family to Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, in verse 15. So, Paul tells Timothy, if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the household of God. You can have it as in the family of God. That you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the family of God, which is in heaven, which is when someone dies. Say, now he's closer to God. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Now he has gone to be with the Lord. No, we are with the Lord. Amen. We are with the Lord. To be with the Lord. So who was he with before? The devil? Now understand the context of what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Just setting things clear. We are with the Lord. I'm a man of God. You know what that means? When you say I'm a man of God, I belong to God. In the world, it's a clear statement. I've told you before, there is nothing neutral in the world. Absolutely nothing neutral. There is no influence that is neutral. Not one. That's why you must be careful. Careful what you take in. Be careful what stays in your heart. Because no influence is neutral. Those who belong to occultic organizations and dark gatherings. Yeah. When they say, I'm a man of something, they know what they say. I'm a man of God. that's the part I've shifted to. My bias is there. Amen. I've pitched my tent and it's with Jehovah. I've pitched my tent. It's with Jesus. I'm in God's family. Alright, so Paul explains the house of God, the household of God, the family of God to Timothy. He says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So, in that single breath or statement, a lot was uncovered. The family of God is the church of God. And it has a purpose. Don't forget, God puts the solitary in that family. Right? I've told you before, there's nothing like, I'm a Christian. I like to do my own things alone. No one should come to me. No one should try and pray for me. I don't want to pray for anyone too. I don't want to pray with anyone. I just want to be on my own. I just want Jesus to be speaking to me. In my sleep, you should talk to me. When I wake up, you should talk to me. I just want to be a child of God. You are ready? Amen? But every child of God is in God's family. He puts the solitary in that family. Are you listening to me? So, there is nothing like, I'm a Christian, I want to walk alone. No. We were called to walk together. Don't forget Hebrews 10 verse 25. I'm a bit fast tonight because I want to cover a lot of things. But I'm not that fast. So, in Hebrews 10 25, it says, do not forsake the gathering of one another. That means I must look forward to Christian meetings. I must look forward to it. I must look forward to church. It says, don't forsake, Hebrews 10 25, don't forsake the gathering of one another, as the manner of some is. Peter will later say, they do that to their own destruction. You won't destroy yourself. Amen. So, Paul mentions, he said, the household of God is the church of the living God. He says, the pillar, look at that, 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The pillar and the ground of the truth. The word truth, there's the word aletheia. I'll spell it in Greek. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. A-L-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. Now, as the years are progressing, I remember I've taught this aletheia over and over again. But I don't think I've ever said this before. Because this is a new trend again now. Last time I taught was probably 20. Where we taught extensively, proper manners in the church. Oh. Proper, what's the title of that? Proper manners, behavior or something in the church. We have a manuscript on that. Alright, so, again, when we say truth, that's what brought me to this, okay. Because now in this world now you hear things like, I want to say my truth. Have you heard that before? So let me say my truth. You know, I want to live my own truth. It sounds nice, yeah? Except one of us will not be telling the truth. When you say the truth is an umbrella word. You can't just say this is the truth. This is the truth according to what this person is saying. Now, he said, let me live my truth. There is nothing like my truth. What you can have is the truth. And people use that to exercise demons. And to exercise looseness. So, he said, a man, full-grown man with beard, goatee, is saying, he's a paper. You see, I've always known. You have always known what? That I'm a female. Ow! Let me live my truth, girl. Every time I look in the mirror, I don't see myself. I see myself. Whatever that means. I don't see this me. I see another me. I remember there was one that came to me on campus then and he said I should be dating him. Man, fellow man. Amen. He's saved though. He's saved now. He said as retest now. But brother, you know what I'm talking about. I think he was here. He was here, yeah. He was here for one of our camp meetings. He said, Ah, pastor, you should have introduced. You can't, you know. Well, then I reset with the fivefold ministry. I could not just stand it. Why now? I felt the slap did not enter well. And people say, let me live my truth. And you see Christians who say that. Sometimes you're not using it or for power or whatever that is. Well, every time I just pray, everything is pray. I want to live my truth. And I'll be free. What do you call free? What do you call free? Because if you're truly free, the devil will take a hold of you. Your own free. You know what the devil told the Lord in the book of Job? He said, you encamped him. You surrounded. He said, take away that hedge. You put it there. If a lot of Christians realize that they will never say they want it, I just want to be free. No! Let God put the railings. Let him put the boundaries. Let him set the hedge around you. That is what freedom looks like. Are you listening to me? So we're in a world where people say, hey, I want to say my truth. No, what you can have is the truth. Observe what Paul says. The pillar and the ground of the truth. What does he mean by the truth? You need to read from the beginning. Look at how Paul used it already in 1 Timothy 2. So walk with me, just book of 1 Timothy. In that letter, see how we use the truth. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. For kings, that means you are meant to pray for everybody, including your president. But I don't like him. Pray for all men. For kings, say for kings. Now, when you say kings, presidents are inclusive. Prime ministers are inclusive. The local government chairman. We're in a country where you don't even know the name of the local government chairman. Such a. Your only thing you just shout is APC, APC. But your local government chairman is from PDP. And they just enjoy. You have a state government from CPC. Local government, PDP. But the president is APC, so everything is... The government, APC government is bad, but your government is collecting steady. I was looking at the FAAC, the dividends for each state. How many of you saw the report? You go through the such report. FAAC dividends for last month, and you are seeing states collecting 500 something billion per month. State government are collecting that. The local government are still collecting their own. Some say, yeah. But you like money too much. You are just shining your teeth when you had billion. 538 billion, I think, for Ekiti or something. And someone will just sit on that and he's watching you all and say, the president. Amen. Pray for kings. When last did you pray for your country? Say, yeah. But I've not even finished praying for myself. For kings, for all that in authority, your pastor, your soul leaders, that we may lead a quiet life, quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Look at verse 4. It says, God will we have all men to be saved. That's God's plan. That's God's will. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Aletheia. So, what is the truth? The gospel. God, we have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the Savior, right? To come to the knowledge of Jesus. He calls that the truth. So you have to look at what Paul is calling truth. Look at first verse 7. Okay, let's read verse 5. For there's one God, again, that's the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He's telling you the truth. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak this truth or the truth. What is the truth? God, Jesus Christ, is the mediator between man and God. That is the truth. The gospel is the truth. Christ Jesus is the message. He is the truth. Alright, good. Remember Jesus called himself the way, the truth, and the life. Aletheia, reality. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? Good.
So wherefore I am ordained a preacher, verse 7, and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and verity. The word verity there is actually truth. Again, in faith and truth. So again, observe what he calls the truth, the message of Christ being our Savior. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. Verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. Some shall depart from the faith, giving ear to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe the gospel and know the gospel, the truth. Is it making sense? So again, observe how he uses the truth. It's not just anything. So when he says the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth, it means when we are in church, the message must be the message of the mediator. The one who brought man and God together in himself, Christ Jesus. That is the message of the church. The truth. So he says the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. 1 Timothy 6, 5. They are destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. We'll see that. So it says, withdraw yourself, because they are destitute of the truth. What is the truth? The message of the gospel. Good. So the truth will be the gospel, the message of Jesus. Or better put, the message of the prophets preached. So, observe Paul's words to Timothy. He says, there will be men that will perverse it. 1 Timothy 6, 5. Perverse disputings of men. They are destitute of the truth. So, everywhere, don't forget this teaching, we are looking at wells without water, remember? So, again we said, everywhere you see the building of the church, clearly, one thing we are going to find is what? The gates of hell, right? Come on, right? We said the gates of hell. Everywhere you see the Son of God being birthed in the lives of men, you're going to see someone's head. The head of the serpent. Thank you. Genesis 3. You're going to see the serpent rear its head. He will be defeated nevertheless. Amen? But he will come. He will show. And that's why the Christian cannot afford to be naive. Naive is not the real word. I don't want to use the word on mic. Something close to, cannot afford to be slow. Cannot afford to be dumb. That's not the word though. What I wanted to use is more. Cannot afford to be dumb. And be slow. If you observe how many times you see in the Bible, watch. Stand. Beware. Fear not. You should already have an idea of the life you have been called to. Watch and pray. Why are we watching? Watch with all perseverance. Stay in watchfulness. You are commanded to watch, to stand. But the word stand is so voluminous. The usage is voluminous in the New Testament. Because you are to stand. See, I stand. I don't fall. I stand. So, for you to know that there's opposition, you've got to stand. You've got to take a stand. The Christian cannot be naive. Everywhere you see the Son of God being made manifest, everywhere you see Jesus walking in his church, the dark will come. It is expected. In fact, I put it this way. If there is no opposition, whether in your heart, physical, whatever. If there's no opposition, watch what you're doing. It can't bring any fruit. It can't produce any fruit. Fruitfulness is because there is a contrary wind. Except a seed falls to the ground and dies, it cannot grow fruit. That's what Jesus said. It's common sense, yeah? That means death has to happen.
You can't be naive as a Christian. I just don't even know what's going on. Before I used to just pray. Anyhow, now I don't even know why I'm not praying. Exactly. That is the beginning. You've got to be fruitful now. And the devil's not going to stay, sit down on his ass and watch you being fruitful. There's got to be an opposition. I'll share better during the workers' meeting. And I gave an illustration. Was it on Sunday or Wednesday? Last week, Wednesday. I said, when you're playing football in training, it's different from when you're on the pitch. Right? See, before, when I used to just hear God's word for myself and all that, everything was smooth. Like I was enjoying Jesus. Everything was just so perfect. Now, in fact, since I just started preaching and I want to start discipling people, go. Every time I want to start discipling people, that's when, I don't know, I just feel this strange wind. Uh-huh. Now, I was telling one of you, you see, the devil has lost you. Let me say it again. Whether you feel like it or not, whether it's in your head or not, the devil has lost you. There is absolutely nothing he can do about your salvation. There's absolutely nothing he can do about you being saved. You are gone. As far as he's concerned, you're gone. You know the enemy now. For you not to bring another. So when you receive the word with joy, and all you have to do is yourself, it's fine with that. You are gone. You never can do anything about your salvation anymore. And so, it's going to leave you to enjoy yourself. I just enjoy listening to pastor. You know, every time I just listen, I have this bubbling inside of me. Butterflies. You know, I just like it. And the moment you start saying, you know what? I want to start teaching people now. Then watch. Watch. How do you know what I'm talking about? That's when serious things will not start happening. Oh, why am I now fighting? I used to pray easily. That's when you need to fight. You are called a soldier of Christ. I've told you before, the church, it's often said the church is a clinic, the church is an hospital. But primarily I've told you, the church is not a clinic, it's a barrack. Or barracks. It's for soldiers. You might have a clinic in the barrack, but it's not an hospital. It's a barrack. I'm a soldier of Christ. You know, Paul told Timothy 2 Timothy 2. He said, as a soldier, endure hardness. He told Philemon. Philemon 3. He said, soldier, fellow soldier. In case they forgot. He's just talking in Philippi. About Timothy. In Philippians 2. Verse 28, 29, he said, Timothy, my fellow soldier, my fellow laborer, you are a soldier. You can't forget that. You must expect the giants. There is no way you're entering Canaan without the giants. If you don't want the giants, you stay in Egypt. Are you listening to me? I don't even know the ministry. No! You have many chance and you take them for dinner. Amen! Amen. Giants for dinner. Hallelujah. When it gets tough, that's when the work starts. We can't be naive. We can't be unsuspecting. We can't be slow. We are soldiers. Have you seen a slow soldier before? They'll take him away. Remove his candlestick. Can't be a soldier. I'll be doing, in this ministry. Hey, no, you stand. Amen. Paul told the church in Ephesus, having done all to stand. Stand. I said, what kind of instruction is this one? He has that again. Stand therefore. Because you've got to stand. Are you listening to me? Say, I stand. So he said, everywhere you see the building of the church, you are going to see the gates of hell. You should expect it. I remember very early in ministry. I'm not talking about Glorious House Church now. I'm talking about when I started preaching and teaching God's word. Because I was privileged to very early on. I used to go to different states to preach. In fact, I used to get invites. I still get invites. Just that, of course, I can't honor a lot now because there are a lot of responsibilities in the church. Amen. You know, but then before you know, I'm in Kogi. Before you know, I'm in Abuja. I travel different states of Nigeria. I just preaching anywhere. I wonder. I said to myself, I used to hear. Yeah, why is there no opposition? Now, for one trip, I remember we were going to Lauren, and I was telling my friend that like accidents should just happen, so that we will now escape. We will now have testimony to say that we came out unscratched. Like I just wanted to say, why would the devil not fight me? Am I not doing something right? You know, that was the way we were trained. But as you grow, that you say, no, the road sanctified. You don't want to come out unscratched. There's no need for scratching or not scratch. Let's just go and come back. Amen. You know, that's kind of a stupid prayer. Amen. You just say, I want to come out unscratched. Why? You know how much I'm selling car? Hallelujah. What am I saying? Opposition is bound to happen. Bishop David Oyedepo said, if you fear the opposition, you lose your position. If you fear opposition, you will lose your position. You won't lose your position. So, again, don't forget where we are coming from. The church is the family of God. He sets the solitary in his family. Abby? Huh? Is that where you're coming from? Good. That family is the pillar and the ground of the truth. What is the truth? The message of Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus, who is the mediator between God and man. Right? Right? That is the message of the church. That means Jesus did not call any church to raise billionaires. Now, like I always pray, every time I say this, I always follow with a prayer. I want as many billionaires here as possible. Amen. Amen. If we all can be billionaires, that would be nice. I don't know how possible that is. Sorry. I don't know how possible that is, but it would be nice. Hallelujah. If we are all billionaires, I won't have us here all together. Because how will you preach the gospel to another person and not come to church? That's in private jet. No, there's a way you enter the church. Three private jets. Let me just go back home. You feel the gospel they will preach here might be different. We're not talking about, you know, road accidents. You know, when you not become some fruit of the spirit. Like, if you are struggling to enter downfall, to be about how you treat your drivers. Amen. They are both patients. Patience. Careful. It's patience. But patience is not you treat your people who work for you. You know, you not treat poor people differently. You know, there's someone you say, no eye service. There's someone I say, treat well those who work for you. My portage boat. Amen. How did I get here? The church has a message. And the devil will do well. Opposition will be to corrupt that message. And so you will see it very loud. And I've told you before, you've got to be loud where the Bible is loud. That is how you are a preacher. You have to be loud where the Bible is loud. Be quiet where it's quiet. And be silent where it's silent. If you are loud where the Bible is silent, then you're a false preacher. You must maintain the tone of the epistles. That tone, you observe that there are things we are not very particular about in this church. You don't hear it often. And there are things we are very particular about. Almost every time you hear about prayer. Almost every time you hear about spiritual warfare. Because the Bible is loud on that. How can you read from Genesis? Genesis 1 literally opens with darkness. Guy, you better pray. Genesis 1, the beginning. The first thing the Bible opens up with, and darkness was everywhere. And the only cure is that God must talk. The Spirit of God must move. You better pray.
Amen.
But there are things we are quiet about. As much as we have been emphatic about them, but how many times have we spoken about tithes? You literally can count the teachings. But how many times have we spoken about prayer? How many times have we spoken about discipleship? How many times have we spoken about healing? Literally, we speak about healing three times every year. How many times have we spoken about walking in love? So, you have to maintain the tone, the volume of the epistles. We must be loud as loud, be quiet as quiet. And one of the places the Bible is loud is about false teachers. In fact, maybe next week, I'll walk you through every epistle. Every epistle says something about false teaching. And false teachers, and false prophets, and false doctrine. Every epistle from, I don't know if I should count the book of Acts as an epistle. Sometimes I'm tempted to. But let's just say from Romans. I'm tempted sometimes to count Acts. Because there are some teachings there. Paul literally wrote Acts 13. That's an epistle. If I put Acts 13 and Jude and Philemon. Amen. So let's say from Romans to Revelation. Everyone spoke about a false teaching. Peter speaks about it in 2 Peter 2, which we have read, is our text. He calls false teachers wells without water. Wells without water. And we began to investigate. What would he mean? Because Jude also now calls them in Jude, verse 3. That's a chapter what? It's Jude. In Judas chapter, I've told you before, you have seen one guy. You say, he's linked to marriage. You say, let's start reading the Bible. You say, let's read the book of Jude. You say, chapter what? You say, I need you in church. Amen. Jesus needs your soul. Jude 3, are you there? How many 3 to 5, say that? Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I would therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Amen.
Interesting.
You know, there's a way you know people that suffered persecution. Very strong words. Very strong words. Lord, after delivering them from Egypt, destroyed. Brought Jude. Eshepelesa. But observe what he said, some crept in unawares, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, looseness, loquaciousness. They turned the grace of God into something else. It's an hallmark, it's an ensign of a false teacher. Don't forget, I've told you before, when you say something is fake, it has to look original. Okay, so there was a time, when I had to get what's it called? Is it airport or what do you call it? Airpiece, whatever. Just to listen, it's been long. And, I was not married then, so. I think I went at night with bro Oseme. So I just saw the guy passing, you know this, and he said, come, give me earpiece. So he gave me one. He said, I can't remember how much he said, but he said a very ridiculous price. So I said, why? Is this not it? Maybe there's another one. Maybe it's your entire wheelbarrow you want to give me. 5,000 or something. I'm talking about 2021, 2022. So he said, it's original. So I looked at the carton. And I saw APPU. APPU. I said, it's APPU. True, true. They did not cut his own APPU on the right. He cut it on the left. Fair enough. You try. I said, who cut this APPU? He says, APPU. Forget the spelling. I said, you don't know how to sell fakes. Amen. I've got the Kedja along before. They will package. most of you, I said, you bought new iPhone. I put it to you. Like Joe Ju said, I put it to remembrance. They've used that phone in 10 places. It's not my mouth you hear it from. But they, you say, I remove line on. They'll put line on, they'll use it too. So I'm the one that remove line from the screen. Don't worry about that. It's up. So, for you to have a fake, for something to be originally fake, it has to be close to the template. That means what you're calling false prophets and false teachers, they are not going to appear, you know, say, there's a pastor online, you know, the way he talks, you know, he just makes jokes. I said, that one is not a fake. It's a comedian. You get what I'm saying? You can't say that's a fake pastor. No, that's not fake. This one is making you understand that. Bring me money. Someone is a hand of sick. I'm not healing sick. I'm tired of healing sick. You have to pay me. That's not saying, it's not fake. Amen. It's not fake. You see fake? Fake, we talk like this. The way I'm talking. Fake, we teach about fake. Now you get it. Fake will tell you, beware of fake. I say, Pastor, how do you know that you are not fake? That's why John will say, test all spirits. Hallelujah. So you test it. Now you know, that's why I told you that discernment is not just knowing good from bad. Anyone can know good from bad. It's easy. Discernment is knowing good from almost good. From seemingly good. I pray for you. You walk in discernment. Amen. A lot of people end with seeming good. There's a way that seems right to a man. The way does not look bad. It does not look like death. It does not look like it's going to end in destruction. It seems right. If you ask the man to give you 10 reasons why he should walk in this way, he will give you with Bible verses. But it says the end thereof is destruction. Because there's no discernment, right? Remember we read it. Proverbs 14:12. In Proverbs 15, we read that a fool will call a foolish decision joy. Have you? We read last week now. Fully will look like joy to the undiscerning. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Don't say, last week, we were looking at that too. So, we said, we must now teach in God's church that one of the ways the devil is going to attack the church of God is through Ayedeu, through fakes, counterfeits, wells without water. Wells without water. Jude calls them cloud without water. Are you listening to me? What did Jesus teach? In John 4, Jesus taught himself as the living water. Look at John chapter 4. Wells without water. You learn something? So the background of the story is that Jesus and the disciples were going through the city and he said he was hungry and they went to get him KFC or Cold Stone, something like that. And they went to the city and Jesus just, he saw a damsel fetching water. Hallelujah. I've told you how to preach. Why are you laughing at damsel? Why are you smiling? Because you're a damsel. Did you say damsel before coming to the church?
Okay, because when I say damsel fetching water, you know that again. Like, I relate. Is that the only outreach you do? People fetching water. So he saw a damsel fetching water, and he went there. I've told you before, how to preach the gospel is conversations. You don't have to carry Bible under your armpits. I want to preach for you. Conversations. Then you center it around Jesus. Then you answer questions. That's basically preaching. So Jesus met the woman and said, give me water. And she looked at him and said, you are a Jew. I'm a woman of Samaria. You are Labour Party. I am APC. I'm not APC. Where is APC? I'm just saying, you are this, I am this. We have no connection. Even in Nigeria, they have connection. They go each other every week. This is well with this country. Alright, so we have no dealings. Except of course Jacob. Because eventually you want to make sure that we have a dealing. Jacob will be the well. Jesus said, do you know who is asking you for water? Say, your fathers. Say, we must worship on this mountain. We say Jerusalem is your place of worship. Just say, forget that. If you give me water, I can give you a water that is everlasting. You must say, I beg. Give me so I don't have to come and fetch water every day. Sometimes what you call your desire and you call your greatest wish is too small compared to what God wants to give you. Our own desire, everything is give me so that I don't come to fetch. But he gave her something more. Hallelujah. Just like the folks looking for bread in John 6. Say, give us bread so that we don't hunger anymore. Then he gave them himself. John 4. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you know the gift of God, and who is it that said, give it to me to drink? You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Observe the word living water. The woman said unto him, you have nothing to draw. The well is deep. From where do you want to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who that gave us the well and drank of it himself, his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said, whosoever drink of this water will thirst again. Can we read verse 14 together? But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing unto everlasting life. So Jesus calls what he gives a well of water, everlasting life. Isaiah will say, with joy you will come draw from the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12 verse 3. With joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. So again, salvation is called living water. Everlasting life, eternal life is called living water. Same with bread of life. It's called everlasting life. Bread of life. Anytime you see book of life, bread of life. What else again? Living water. Breath of life. That's Jesus. That's eternal life. That's his spirit. Good. What will the first prophet do? Of course, Jesus continually used water for what he gives. The work of the spirit. You see in John 7:38, where it said, out of him, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He wasn't talking about the believer. Of course, he was talking about himself. As the scripture has said, again, there was no particular scripture that says that, out of his belly. He's saying the words of the prophet, if you put it together, out of Christ's belly will flow rivers of water, streams of water. Then he says, this he spoke about what? The spirit. John 7:39. Which was not yet given because the Holy Ghost was not yet glorified. So again, the water, what you call water, living water, is the spirit of God. Eternal life. So when Peter says, wells without water. In fact, Revelation 7, John describes the throne. He says, from the throne of grace flows the living water. John 7, I can't remember the verse. I remember before we finish teaching. He says, from the throne flows, Revelation 7, living waters. Are you there? So, again, the work of the Spirit is called everlasting life, living water. Can you check Revelation 7:17 for me? Be sure about that. So, the work of the Spirit, are you there?
Is it 17 or 20? Let me check. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. Yes. And God shall wipe away their tears from their eyes. Yeah. So, shall lead them to the living fountains of waters. The Lamb. So again, the waters come from Him. Is it clear? Ah, good. So, the work of the Spirit is called living waters. Eternal life. Fountains. Out of His belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of joy. Right? There is a river that's eternal. Right within us. That mighty old. That Psalm is the 2018 and 2019 Psalm. Good. So again, there is a river. It's a river. Good. It's the work of the Spirit. But observe how Peter uses it. Now says, when you see these false teachers, they will be wells, but they will lack it. That means you will see a clear shift away from the work of the Spirit. Don't forget, the work of the Spirit is in tandem with living waters. Abi? Come on. I don't get where we're coming from. The work of the Spirit is in tandem with living waters, with eternal life. That's what the Spirit is doing. Now, Peter now says, these false prophets, they are wells without that water. They look like they hold it. They look like they have it. They should have it. But they will not have that work of the Spirit. That means in their outlook, in their works, you will not see what the Spirit of God is doing. That's the first test of a false teacher. Just sit down. I remember there was this fellowship that was starting in Ibadan some years ago. And the man of God is a man of God now. But then we came upon his solo. We were like 21-ish. 19, 20, 21. That was like our age range then. And we really shook places. Amen. Oh my God. We shook places. So the man told us that, so he knows that we used to preach and do outreaches, in fact, a lot. So he said we should just come, that their fellowship holds on Sunday evenings. We were always looking for where to, you understand? Like, one of my guys was always saying that, when will he give us opportunity to preach? Say we know, that we have words now that, prophecy, poku, that we can't be keeping all these things inside, that we have something for his members. In fact, one of us wanted to lay hands. It was me. On someone else's member. So, we sat down there, first Sunday, second Sunday, the third Sunday used to be old from 6:30 thereabouts to 7:38. The third, one of us, Ogaope, we call him Ogaope, he said, because his spirit can touch you. I can meet. That was in his word. I can meet. Now. Because we were expecting by the third Sunday, we should know everything was just teaching, your skill can take you to the world. Okay, first Sunday, okay, we agree. He said, no, your skill. If it was a series, I understand. Another topic. Wisdom for kinetic nation building. Okay. Let's see. Is it the wisdom of the Spirit? If you focus on Kinikon, there's a man in Ghana. You know, he was an orphan. And, you know, from everywhere, he just built an empire for himself. The new creation can do much more. Okay. We do it. Third Sunday. Immediately we had a topic. We all look at ourselves like this. If I want to say, like, we should go. That's not the first time we are leaving meetings. It's not a good thing. Amen. Like, then you will make you know that, Omo, you are teaching nonsense. We'll carry Bible and just say, kill now. Like in the entire church, very unruly. Don't be like that. Amen. You know? You can't even be like that. My fight, baby. We just say, kill now. Can you say what now? I remember we went to one in Okado. What, Korea now? Me, I'm shy. I'm the shyest of, like that. Something like that. If there's the shyest. But I'm the most reserved of us. So I find it hard. But the day I spoke, oh, that pastor cannot forget to.
He said, rada, rada. I took my Bible in my head like this, rada, rada. Materialism, you know. Again, one of the end signs and the signs of a false prophet is that you will see a clear sheet from the work of the Spirit. Was it Yonggi Cho? I've forgotten the man, very popular man of God. He was invited to a particular church and they were showing him, I've told you the story before, they showed him the main auditorium, the children auditorium. It was like, he said, is this the children auditorium? He said, yes. I said, yeah. On a campground. So they showed him the teens church. Teens to have. They showed him the youth arena. Say, ah! They now showed him the main auditorium. The man said, okay. So we have for baptism. They showed Olympic size pool for baptism. So the man said, the senior minister, I don't know if it's Yonggi Cho, I think it's Yonggi Cho. He said, you have shown me what you have done without the Holy Ghost. Show me what you have done with the Holy Ghost. What a statement. No blind eyes seeing, no lame walk, nobody has forsaken their past, no one was snatched from the claws of death, from the claws of darkness. What has the Holy Ghost done? That's one of the, so when John says test of spirit, you can see it. One of the signs is that there will be wells without water. The work of the Spirit will be very well lacking. Look at how Jeremiah puts it in Jeremiah chapter 2. There is something. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Look at that. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they yield out themselves wells, broken cisterns that can hold no eternal life. Broken cisterns, Jeremiah 2:13. Broken wells that can hold no water. How do you know the ones who are preaching the message of Christ? You will see the work of the Spirit emphasized. Are you listening to me? Anywhere you're not taught to pray consistently. To flow with the things of the Spirit. To preach the gospel. To walk in love. Those are very typical signs. Amen. Preach. Pray. Flow with the gifts of the Spirit. And walk in love. These are those four things. The end sign of a church of Christ. So beware of wells without water. That discernment is part of our growth. Are you there? Look at so Jude mentions that they will creep in unaware and they will change the grace of God into what? Lasciviousness. We're going to explain that word properly. But you can put it as looseness. There is nothing in the message of Christ and in the church of God, that should cause a believer to say, it does not matter. How can a believer, let's accept it's an error. You found yourself in a mess of fornication. Let's accept it's an error. Amen? I'm saying, let's accept. I'm not saying it's an error. Because it's not an error. There's no, it just suddenly happened. In a matter of fornication. It does not suddenly happen. I'm sorry. It suddenly happened. You went to his house. Suddenly happened. I'm at the gate. Suddenly happened. Then do me. Even Pentecost, they waited 10 days. It's a sudden. That's not sudden. Stop deceiving yourself first. Accept this is an intentional mistake. And Jesus must help.
One of the deceptions of the devil is to start painting it as, you know, you don't know much about it. You accept, Omo, I know about this thing. Amen. You stole. You now say, I don't know about it. I don't know, I just found the money. I didn't even know that it was going to be that much. Eh? Accept. There is greed somewhere hidden. Are you listening to me? You save the number. Like the big bomb bomb. Later, you now say it's a mistake that you impregnated like the big bomb bomb. From the saving of the number, you already don't know that the grace of God has been taught to last you. And we talk, I said this is the first part of the teaching. We will go very well into it. We are in a kind of church now. Not this church, by God's grace, in the name of Jesus. Good. The church is in an era where we want to cover some sins. We just want to say, the grace of God, I walk in grace. Yes, let's explain that grace now. Let's explain the grace you walk in. And the one that you're about to walk in. Glory to his name. But I pray for anyone who is battling addictions, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're free.
Amen.
Good. So watch for materialism. Because one of the ensigns we see with Peter, with Timothy, with Paul, is that they mention that one of the ensigns you're going to see with these false teachers is merchandise. They trade the gospel for money. There are fewer things that talk about a minister of the gospel than what he says and how he treats the issues of money. We have a teaching, money matters. And we're like, matters concerning money, and money really matters. It's both. Money matters. You go listen to it. Where we spoke about how a believer must treat money. See, there is nothing else that Jesus compared to God apart from mammon. Nothing else. You know, we say, who is like unto you? The only thing Jesus used was mammon. You can't serve God and serve money. Unfortunately, even as a preacher, you must watch for it. Watch how you now start. And that's why I always say, if you're a young minister like I am, I'm 16, I'll be 17 next week. If you're a young minister like I am, I believe you should have your own work. Don't say you are, except there's a clear call. Listen very well. The call of that instruction over clear that you must not work. If there is no clear instruction from God, backed by 30 people, go and find a job. You are too young to sit in church on Monday morning waiting for people that are coming for counseling. The person that is coming for counseling, you can find work too. Why are you gathering on Monday morning for fellowship 9 to 11? Yeah. Except your association of work from home. Amen. And your work from home is not Yahoo Yahoo. It's a work from home. If you are doing Yahoo Yahoo in this church, you'll be caught in Jesus' name. And I will not come and bail you. I'm saying this now so that you know that time, Pastor. What's going on? I see Yahweh Yahweh spirit. You want to take light? Yahweh Yahweh spirit. That's all that they do for you. I will not come and bail you. It's like take light. It's like, I'm saying it now. So you know, say, I don't know. I didn't know that this is how this pastor is. This is how this pastor is. Amen. See my face. This is the real face that is talking now. You can't be into fraud and be speaking in tongues and claim Jesus will help you. That is the helper of the helpless. You are not helpless. You are lazy. Hallelujah. If there's no work in town, there is. If you don't have CV for one, create one for yourself. Find something to do. Talk to people. Learn skills. Go to people. I want to learn what you're doing. I want to learn how to do battery, car battery. Find something doing.